Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman. I'm Rabbi Avram Golder, and today we're Zechaz Erevin Daf Tes. So the 3 points we're going to focus on. Number one, Rav Ada Bar Masna challenged Rav's position that a korah needs to be on top of the walls of a mavi. From a brice that states, when korah mashucha or tluya, a beam is drawn away from the mavi, meaning that the beam is drawn towards the rishus of rabim and not on top of the walls of the mavi, or suspended above the mavi, meaning that its two ends don't reach the walls, if it's within three tefachim, the mavi is permitted. The Gemara answers that the case of Meshucha is referring to a korah that is above the walls of the Mavui, but doesn't reach across to the other side of the Mavui. And the case of Teluya, is where the korah doesn't reach the walls of either side. The Brais has stated both cases to teach that the principle of Lavud not only applies on one side, but it can be applied to both sides simultaneously. Rav Ashi says that the Brais is referring to a case of Meshucha vehi Teluya, a single case where the korah doesn't reach either side of the Mavui, and is also suspended above them, supported by two L-shaped pegs. The Brais is coming to teach that we can apply the leniencies of Lavud and Chavut simultaneously. Chavut allows us to view the korah as if it's positioned between the two walls instead of suspended above them. Point number two, Rabbi Yochanan rejected Rabbi Zakkai's teaching that the area opposite a lechi or a korah is judged to be a karmelis in which carrying is forbidden. Abaye said that Rabbi Yochanan only disagreed regarding the area under the korah, but he does agree that the area opposite the lechi is forbidden. Rava said that Rabbi Yochanan also disagreed regarding the lechi and holds that it's permissible to carry opposite it. Rava says that his position is derived from a statement made in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that it is permissible for people in a Rishus Rabim or in a Rishus Yachid to carry into a Makom Patur, an insignificant area that is less than 4x4 tefachim, that is between them, provided that afterwards they don't transfer the object into the other Rishus. Similarly, the area opposite the lechi is insignificant, and people should be able to carry opposite. Abai responds that that case was where the Makom Patur was raised 3 tefachim above the level of the Rishus of Rabim, which makes it distinct from the Rishus of Rabim. The Gemara continues with Abai bringing the source for his position. And point number 3 was said regarding Alechi, Nira mebefnim v'shava mebechutz, if it's visible from the inside and flush on the outside, nidon mishum lechi, it's judged to be a valid lechi. However, regarding Nira mebechutz v'shava mebefnim, a lechi that's visible from the outside and flush in the inside, it's a malchok between Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Shimon, the son of Rabbi, whether it's a valid lechi. The one who holds that it's invalid is because this lechi is not fulfilling its primary function, which is to remind those in the Mabui not to carry into Rishus Rabim. The one who holds that it is valid is because people in Rishus Rabim can see it, and even those in the Mabui can see it when they step out of the Mabui. So once again, the 3 points are number one, Rav Ada Bar Masna challenged Rav's position that a korah needs to be on top of the walls of a Mabui from a Brais that states, when korah mashucha or tluya, a beam is drawn away from the mavli, meaning that the beam is drawn towards the rishus rabim and not on top of the walls of the mavli, or suspended above the mavli, meaning that its two ends don't reach the walls, if it is within three tefachim, the mavli is permitted. The Gemara answers that the case of mashucha is referring to a korah that is above the walls of the mavli, but doesn't reach across to the other side of the mavli, and the case of a tluya is where the korah doesn't reach the walls on either side. The Brais has stated both cases to teach that the principle of Lavud not only applies on one side, but it can be applied to both sides simultaneously. Rav Ashi says that the Brais is referring to a case of Meshucha Vehi Tluya, a single case where the korah doesn't reach either side of the Mavui and is also suspended above them, supported by two L-shaped pegs. The Brais is coming to teach that we can apply the leniencies of Lavud and Chavut simultaneously. Chavut allows us to view the korah as if it's positioned between the two walls instead of suspended above them. Point number 2, Rabbi Yochanan rejected Rabbi Zakkai's teaching that the area opposite a lechi or under a korah is judged to be a karmelis in which carrying is forbidden. Abai said that Rabbi Yochanan only disagreed regarding the area under a korah, but he does agree that the area opposite the lechi is forbidden. Rava said that Rabbi Yochanan also disagreed regarding the lechi and holds that it's permissible to carry opposite it. Rava says that his position is derived from a statement made in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that it is permissible for people in Rishus Rabim or in Rishus Yachid to carry into a Makom Patur, an insignificant area that is less than 4x4 tefachim that is between them, provided they don't afterwards transfer the object into the other Rishus. Similarly, the area opposite the Lechi is insignificant, and people should be able to carry opposite it. Abai responds that that case was where the Makom Patur was raised 3 tefachim above the level of Rishus Rabim, which makes it distinct from the Rishus Rabim. The Gemara continues with Abai bringing the source for his position. And point number 3, it was said regarding Alechi, Nira mebefnim, v'shaba mebechutz, if it's visible from the inside and flush on the outside, nido mishum lechi, it's judged to be a valid lechi. However, regarding nira mebachutz v'shab mebifnim, alachi that's visible from the outside and flush on the inside, it's a machlokes between Rebbe Chiya and Rebbe Shimon, the son of Rebbe, whether it's a valid lechi. The one who holds that it's invalid is because this lechi is not fulfilling its primary function, which is to remind those in the mabui not to carry into Rishus Rabbim. The one who holds that it is valid is because people in Rishus Rabbim can see it, and even those in the mabui can see it when they step out of the mabui. All right, so now we go to our Simfer Daf test, and the Simfer test is a teapot, because teapot starts with a tosan, and also a test looks like a teapot. So here goes. The eccentric sitting on top of a korah suspended above the mabui poured tea from his teapot in front of the lechi to remind people it was forbidden to carry there, especially when the lechi couldn't be seen from the inside. Once again, in slow motion. The eccentric sitting on top of a korah suspended above the mabui poured tea from his teapot. Teapot, that must mean we're on Daf Tes. The eccentric sitting on top of a korah suspended above the mabui, which reminds us of the two pshatim of a korah, meshucha, and tluya. So the eccentric sitting on top of a korah suspended above the mavui poured tea from his teapot in front of the lechi to remind people it was forbidden to carry there, which reminds us of the machlokas whether one can carry in front of a lechi. So the eccentric sitting on top of a korah suspended above the mavui poured tea from his teapot in front of the lechi to remind people it was forbidden to carry there, especially when the lechi couldn't be seen from the inside, which reminds us of the machlokas whether a lechi that can only be seen mibuchus from the outside and not b'mifnim and not from the inside is a valid lechi. So once again, the eccentric sitting on top of a korah suspended above the mavui poured tea from his teapot in front of the lechi to remind people it was forbidden to carry there, especially when the lechi couldn't be seen from the inside. All right, now it's time for four blot back chazara. Daf hay. So the symbol for daf hay is a haystack. Hey, here goes. The mound of hay. Hey, that must mean we're on daf hay. The mound of hay piled up under the korah that was too high, which reminds us on daf dalet amud beis, a machlokas was brought in a case where one wanted to lower a mabui entrance that was above 20 amos by building up the ground beneath the korah. Rav Yosef said that the mound must be at least one tefach wide into the mabui, and Abai said it must be at least four tefachim wide. One explanation for the basis of the machlokas is as follows. Rav Yosef holds mutlish damish tachas a korah. It is permissible to carry directly under the korah, and therefore the person will notice the korah and be reminded not to carry in rishus rabim. Abai disagrees and holds aslish damish tachas a korah. It is forbidden to carry directly under the korah, and therefore, the korah must be recognizable when one is not standing directly underneath it. Rashi explains that once the mound must extend past the korah, it's required to have a chash of width, which is the width of four tefachim. A second explanation of the machlokas is that everybody holds mutli shtamish tachas the korah. It is permissible to carry under the korah. However, they dispute the purpose of the korah. Rav Yosef holds that it's there to serve as a heker, and therefore one tefach is sufficient. Abaya holds that it's there to serve as a mechitza, and a mechitza is only halachically considered a partition when it sets off an area that is at least 4x4 tefachim. And the Gemara brings two additional explanations. So the mound of hay piled up under the korah that was too high belonged to the four homeowners in the two courtyards, which reminds us it was taught in a braisa. Ein mavui nitta b'lechi v'korah ad shubati mechitzeres besuchim usocho. Carrying a mavui is not permissible with a lechi or korah unless there are courtyards and houses opening into it, meaning at least two courtyards with at least two homes in each courtyard. Rav Nachman says, Nikatinan, we have the following tradition. Ezu mavui shenit b'lechi b'korah. Which kind of mavui is permissible to carry in with a lechi or a korah? Kosha archu yaser rachbo ubati mechetzeros pesuch musocho. Any mavui whose length is greater than its width and that courtyards and houses open into it. Rashi explains that a square mavui has the status of a chatzer, which has more extensive requirements to permit carrying within it. So the mound of hay piled up under the korah that was too high belonged to the four homeowners in the two courtyards, who didn't realize their 4 amah wide lechi was also too wide. Which reminds Rami Bar Chama said in the name of Rav that if a lechi protrudes 4 amos into the entranceway, nidum mishim mavui, it's judged as a wall of the mavui, but sarik lechi acher la'atira, and it therefore requires another lechi to permit carrying into it. Rav Papa says one should place the lechi on the other side of the entranceway, where it will stand alone and will not be mistaken as part of the original wide lechi. Rav Huna, the son of Rav Yeshua, says that one may even place it next to the wide lechi if he makes it taller or shorter or thicker or thinner so that it's distinct. Daf Vav. So the simple Daf Vav is a sword. So here goes. The matador with the sword. Sword, that must be Moran Daf Vav. The matador with the sword, who escaped the raging bull by entering a gap in the corner of the front wall, which reminds us there's a Machlokas Amarim regarding gaps in Mabui walls. Rav Chanan bar Rav said in the name of Rav, Mabui shenifritz metzido be'eser amos, marosh barba. A mabui can have a maximum gap up until 10 amos in its side wall, as long as there's four tefachim of wall before the gap. But in the front wall, in a case, for example, where the mabui had a 20 amos opening and was then closed up by a 10 amos wall, then four tefachim in that wall is the maximum breach. The Gemara asks why a breach in the front wall can't be up to 10 amos like a gap in the side wall and be considered an entrance. Rav Huna, the son of Rav Yeshua, answered that when Rav Chanan stated a breach in the front, he was referring to a breach in the corner. Since people don't usually construct entrances in corners, it can't be considered an entrance. Instead, it's viewed as a gap that makes the mavui puzzle. Rav Huna says, Echozeba, Echozeba, Barba. In either case, whether the breach is in the sidewall or in the corner, a breach that is four tefachim wide puzzles the mavui. So the matador with the sword who escaped the raging bull by entering a gap in the corner of the front wall and running through a bent mavui, which reminds us there's malchukas regarding a mavui akum, a bent mavui, which is an L-shaped mavui that opens to the street on both ends. Rav says, Tarasu kamafulash, its law is that of an open mavui, meaning each leg is viewed as an open mavui which requires a tzuras pesach at one end and a lechi or kor at the other. Shmuel says, Tarasu kasasim, its law is that of a closed mavui, and therefore all that is required is a lechi or kor at each end. So the matador with the sword, who escaped the raging bull by entering a gap in the corner of the front wall and running through a bent mavui, was disqualified by the judge, whose opinion was always followed. Which reminds, the Gemara points out a contradiction to Brice, which initially states, Lom halacha ka beis hillel, the halacha always follows beis hillel, and then states immediately afterwards, Vaharotz lasus kidivre beis shammai ose, kidivre beis hillel ose. And one who wishes to act in accordance with beis shammai may do so, and one who wants to act in accordance with beis hillel may do so. So three answers are given. Number one, kan kodem baskol, kan lacher baskol. The second part that states one can choose whom to follow was said before the Baskol stated that Beis Hillel's opinion should be followed, and the first statement was made after the Baskol. Answer number two, the first and second part were both stated after the Baskol. The second part, however, reflects the view of Rabbi Yeshua, who pays no heed to Baskols. And answer number three, the second part of the Braisa means to say that anywhere there's a Malchokas, just like the arguments that we find between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, whenever there's no authoritative ruling regarding who should be followed, one should not adopt the leniences of both, nor the stringencies of both, but rather one should adopt the leniences and stringencies of one Rebbe. In the case of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, however, this rule doesn't apply, since there was an authoritative ruling that Beis Hillel should be followed. Dav Zayin, so the Simra Dav Zayin is a gun, a clay Zayin. Here goes. The discarded gun, that must be on Dav Zayin. The discarded gun found at the crime scene on top of the spine and trefa, which reminds us, on Dav Vav Amud Beis, we learned that there was a mavui akum, a bent mavui in the Ardah, with three intersecting mavuis in the shape of the letter Ches. The residents followed the stringencies of both Rav and Shmuel. So the Gemara asks how they could do so, for Brice had taught, Mechumri Beis Shammai or Mechumri Beis Hillel, one who follows the stringencies of both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, all of a kaz of Omer, Aksil B'choshech Holech. Regarding him, it said, the fool goes in darkness. So our Dav, Rav Shevzi, explains that the Brice's rule not to follow the stringencies of two authorities only applies Hekada Sasri Hadadi, where they contradict each other. As an example, the Gemara brings a machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel regarding how much of a spine or skull must be missing for them not to impart Tuma in an Ohel. Beis Shammai's Shir is larger than Beis Hillel's, making him the more stringent opinion. When the same Shiurim are applied to determining when an animal is considered a Trefa, Beis Hillel's smaller Shir makes him more stringent. So the Chumra and Kulot regarding Tuma results in the opposition in the case of a trefa. This is what the Braisa was referring to. In the case of the Mavui Akum in Narda, the stringencies did not contradict each other. So the discarded gun found at the crime scene on top of the spine and trefa, in a Mavui that opened to two Rishus Rabbins, which reminds us, Rabbi Yudah said in the name of Rav, that when the Tanakama and Hananya argued regarding the adjustments of a Mavui Mefulash, it was only when the Mavui opened on both ends into Rishus Rabbi Mederaisa, such as a Sriracha, a public thoroughfare, or a Platya, a public square, that Hananya required a door at one end. But if the Mavui opened into a public thoroughfare at one end, and a field, which is not Midaraisa, on the other end, or it opened into fields on both ends, then even Hananya agrees that Osetzur is a Pesach Mekan, Velechi Mekor Mekan. One constructs a Tzur is a Pesach at one opening, and a Lechi or Korah at the other opening. So the discarded gun found at the crime scene on top of the spine and trefa in a mavui that opened to two Rishus of Rabbims had the fingerprints of the bandit who was caught in the back lot. Which reminds us, Rav Yosef said in the name of Yehuda, if a mavui opened into Rishus of Rabbim on one end, imayakalo rochova, but at the other end it terminated into a back lot, which in turn open to Shusha Rabim, Ein Sar Chum. It doesn't require any adjustment at all on the backlot side, but only Alechi Rekor at the end where it opens directly into Shusha Rabim, like any closed Mavui. Abai said to Rav Yosef that this ruling of Rav Yehuda reflects the ruling of Shmuel and not Rav, as it contradicts Rav in two ways. One seeming contradiction is that Rav rules Mavui Shenifritz B'mlo Ochatzer, a Mavui that was breached along its entirety, leaving it completely open to a Chatzer, the Nifritz Chatzer Kenegdo, and the far wall of the Chatzer was breached opposite the Mavui, opening the Chatzer into Shusha Rabim, Chatzer Muteris U'Mavui Aser. Carrying in the Chatzer is permitted, carrying in the Mavui is prohibited unless adjustments are made. The Gemara resolves this contradiction as well as the second one. Daf Ches. So the Simper Daf Ches is a Challah. So here goes. The Challah Baking Contest. Challah Baking Contest, that must mean we're on Daf Ches. The Challah Baking Contest held in a Mavui between a trash heap and the sea, which reminds us, Rabbi Bar Rav Ada said in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak that there was an incident concerning a Mavui Shetzido Echel Challah Yam. One side terminated to the sea. Tzido Echad Kala Ashba, and one side terminated at a trash heap. And when the matter was brought before Rebbe, he wouldn't rule. He didn't want to forbid it because the sea and trash heap do indeed serve as mechitzos. However, he didn't want to permit carrying it in either because he was concerned that the trash heap could be removed or that the sea might bring up sediment, in which case the slope won't be sufficiently steep to serve as a wall. The Gemara questioned whether there's a concern that the trash heap will be removed, citing a mission that states, if there's a trash heap in Rishus HaRabim, which is 10 tefachim high, and therefore it's a Rishus Yachid, one may throw into it from a window above. Rashi explains that there's no concern that people remove the trash, resulting in someone throwing the trash down into the Rishus Rabim. And the Gemara concludes that the Mishnah is referring to a public trash heap, where there's no concern that it'll be removed, whereas the incident with Rebbe involved a private trash heap, which one might come to remove. So the challah baking contest held in a mavu between a trash heap and the sea was jammed with families rooting their mothers on, sitting on diagonal cords, which reminds us, there's machlokes regarding mavui tzido echad aruch, tzido echad katzar, a mavui whose one side was long and its other side short. According to one opinion, if the difference between the two sides is less than dalet amos, then one may place the cord diagonally. However, if the difference in length is dalet amos or more, then he may place the cord only opposite the short side at a right angle. Rava said, regardless of the difference of length between the two sides, he can only place the korah opposite the short side. Rava went on to explain the machlokes by saying that he holds the function of the korah as a heker, and when placed diagonally, it doesn't serve as a reminder. Rashi explains that the longer side doesn't appear as part of the mavui. According to the other opinion, however, the purpose of the korah is to serve as a mechitza, and a korah on a diagonal is a functional mechitza. So the challah baking contest held in a mavui between a trash heap and the sea was jammed with families rooting their mothers on, sitting on diagonal korahs, and korahs placed on pegs. Which reminds us, Rami Bar Chama asked Rav Chisda the following question. What's the din if one thrusts two pegs into the two outside walls of a mavui and places a korah on top of the pegs so that the inner edge of the korah was rested against the outside walls? Rav Chisda answered that according to the one who permits carrying under a korah because the outer edge serves as a mechitza, it would be forbidden to carry within such a mavui since in this case, the mechitza is considered removed from the mavui. According to the one who holds that one cannot carry under a korah, because the inner edge functions as a mechitza, it would be permitted to carry within such a mavui, because in this case, the mechitza is at the wall of the mavui. Rava holds that it's forbidden according to everyone, since a requirement of a korah is that it rests on top of the mavui. All right, now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions, plus 3 bonus questions of Maseches, Brachos, and Shabbos. Number 1. Which of the one whether is permitted to have a korah rest on pegs that are thrust into the outside walls of a mavui? That's on Daf. Ches. Good. Number 2. Which stuff do you in the Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says the reason for the Chachamim's limit of 20 amos for a kara is to serve as a heker? That's on Daf. Gimel. Good. Number 3. Which stuff do you have Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan holds regarding carrying opposite Alechi? That's on Daf. Tes. Good. Number 4. Which stuff do you in that the Chachamim and Chananya are only arguing in a case where a mavui opens into two Rishus Rabims, that's on Daf. Zion. Good. Number 5. Which Daf do we have in Machlokes? Whether diagonal korahs are permitted in a case where one side of a mavui is longer than the other, that's on Daf. Ches. Good. Number 6. Which Daf do we have in Machlokes regarding Alechi that is nira mebechutz v'shabim mebifnim? It's only visible from the outside, that's on Daf. test. Good. Number seven. Wish something when it's halakha mishusina, that something covering the majority of hair that bothers a person is a chetzitza. That's on daf. Dalet. Good. Number eight. Wish something with the case of a mavui opening to a back lot that doesn't necessarily contradict Rav's ruling of a mavui opening into a chatzer. That's on daf. Zion. Good. Number nine. Wish something when the halakha always follows Beis Hillel. That's on daf. Vav. Good. And number 10, which stuff they're going that a breach in the front corner of a mavui cannot be more than Dalad Fakhin. That's on Duff. Vav. Good. Now the three bonus questions. Number 1, which stuff they're going about Yosef Mokir Shabbos. That's on Duff. Kupya Tess and Shabbos. Good. Number 2, which stuff do we win the bracha on Orez, on rice. That's on Duff. Lamed Zayin and bracha is good. And finally, question number 3, which stuff when the Rabban Gamliel holds that Tsar Balei Chaim is a Rabbanan, that's on Daf. Kufnun Dalet and Shabbos. Excellent. All right, that concludes our pop quiz. I'm Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichru, wishing you a great day and great learning.